This is Talk is Cheap on KPWLP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also archived on radio4all.net. That's radio, the number 4, all.net, basically the last of the Independent Media Centers project. Please use your own brain at all times, and none of this is financial advice. Seek a financial professional. All right, so today I've got, continuing on with my May Day pieces, of Extinction Rebellion, a very important organization to support, and Night Sky is talking about try to keep your lights out so that we can see the stars again, and other fun music stuff. So my comment for this week, you know, I'm not doing anything on the police thing because if you haven't figured out by now that we need restorative justice and not punitive justice, that we've been punishing people for 2,000 years, how's that working for you? So all this money that we spend on war could be spent on rehabilitating and restorative justice in the world. And that's what we should be doing with the police. Also, we shouldn't even need police anymore if we spent the money that we spend on preventative and restorative justice, spend it on that instead of punitive justice that has not really worked. And, of course, the economy, I think, is going to collapse so badly that it'll work in our favor because we'll have to do a debt jubilee. And, you know, that's what Trump will do, is they'll come up with some social rebate, you know, that'll just add to the devaluation of the currency by, they'll come up with a tax program that, to give you some relief from the giant oil, the huge inflation that's going to come from this oil shock. But, of course, again, that is adding to the debt without really doing anything for the economy. They're not giving you infrastructure, they're just blowing up bombs with your money. They're just blowing up bombs, and that's what you're gonna, that's what where your money is really going, instead of something that you could actually use. So yeah, we're gonna need a debt jubilee. I gotta reiterate, even what the hell is up with media, even the liberal media? So the crux of the Iran war is that they have nuclear weapons and Trump doesn't want them to have nuclear weapons. But Israel has nuclear weapons. So don't you think that that should be at least mentioned in negotiating, that in Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons, shouldn't have nuclear weapons? And of course, Iran is an oppressive regime. They kill their activists, and so something definitely had to be done with that. But again, could have used restorative justice, and it would be a bargain, and spread the wealth out by fixing the Iran problem with reparations is how we should have fixed Iran and stopped sending weapons to Israel. And of course, Gaza is a complete mess, and we cannot seem to get aid to Gaza. And I don't understand why the UN can't get an international force in there. Actually, I do understand why. It's the US military-industrial complex that is putting a stop to that. And then I just wanted to mention, you know, I thought, you know, Kennedy came up with the SEALs, and I thought that that's what they were for, is to capture the head of a repressive regime and bring them to trial, and then that trial would show the multinational corporate military industrial complex complicity in whatever that regime was doing in Central and South America. That repressive regime would be tied, you would see the ties in the trial to corporate malfeasance. That's what I thought the whole thing was about, capturing heads. Instead of going to war, we would capture the heads of these countries that are fascists and bring them to trial. Then the information would come out of how this was corporate corporatism that has caused this corporate colonialism and state-sponsored colonialism with multinational corporations that has caused the regime in the Central American country. So if I haven't belabored that, if I haven't made that clear, so that's what I'm a dreamer. That's what I thought was going to happen. So thanks for supporting independent media. Coming up, Extinction Rebellion and Night Sky. Please support these organizations and independent media. All right, so I'm here at the May Day celebration, and I'm at a table. It says, first conference transitioning away from fossil fuels.
So we are trying to get the word out about the Climate Justice Flotilla, which started in St. Martin and sailed through the Caribbean, stopping at key ports in Dutch Caribbean islands, in Bonaire, Curaçao, Aruba, and then arriving at Santa Marta. And along the way, they were collecting the stories of the people who are living in those frontline communities, finding out what kinds of struggles, you know, they're facing, and bringing those concerns to the first conference transitioning away from fossil fuels and demanding climate justice and a just transition away from fossil fuels. That we not just think about reducing overall emissions, but we think about, you know, what's happening to the countries that are currently dependent on fossil fuels because of the extractivist, you know, countries that have, you know, colonized that area. That so the demands of the flotilla include a just transition, include reparations for not only the damage that the you know, hurricanes like Irma, you know, have caused, but also for the damage that's been done to you know, their economies. Their economies, because they were colonized, the economies were made into fossil fuel, made into extractive economies.
They're made dependent instead of self-sufficient.
They're made dependent, exactly. And so they're trying to bring that message to the conference to make sure that those voices aren't, you know, glossed over. So that's the gist of what the climate justice is doing.
So let me clarify, though. You're showing all, you're both showing what the effects of our extreme use of fossil fuels,
exactly,
and our damage to the climate has done to these global south, we used to call them the third world countries.
Right, right.
But you're also showing how the policies...
Right. What the current policies miss in terms of understanding all of that, making that part of the picture. Not just focusing on overall, you know, we're going to reduce our climate emissions by, or our greenhouse gas emissions by 50%.
But I mean, the elephant in the room is that these corporations are going down there and exploiting,
exactly,
these people.
Exactly.
And we, and all these corporations are licensed here in the United States.
And in other major, you know, wealthy countries.
Wealthy countries.
Yes.
They have the power to do something about them. And
exactly.
And they refuse to.
Exactly.
Even though their constituency seems to indicate that they should do something about it.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think that the people in power right now care, you know, a whip about what the constituency or the people in this country think. You know, I think that they're absolutely just serving, you know, fossil fuel interests at this point. As a matter of fact, the United States didn't even go to COP 30. They didn't even bother to attend, you know, and COP 30 was held in a major, you know, petrostate, you know, Brazil. So, and that's one of the really cool things about this first conference is they've gotten, they've done away with the UN rules that allowed major, you know, wealthy countries to veto and to stall and to stop, you know, progress on climate change because it doesn't, you know, serve our interests. And things are going to be done by majority vote. So there is no opportunity for, you know, countries like the United States to absolutely stall the transition process.
All right, so what do you need for support?
What we need is, we have here a QR code where people can donate to the Climate Justice Flotilla if they like. The major support, you know, the major thing that we want is to get this information out there. That's what the Climate Justice Flotilla is doing, is it's collecting these stories, it's bringing them to the world stage. It's trying to get, you know, just get the stories out there. And that's what we're trying to do as well.
NPR,
I'm sorry?
I don't think I've even heard about this on NPR.
No, nobody's covering it at this point.
Yeah. So this is very important. And for children, too. Any kids involved or any of this?
So we are hoping so. So the flotilla that we're going to sail here at 2:30, we're going to have these huge, colorful boats. We have little boats for children to sail along with the climate. Yeah, so we're going to have a march here starting at 2:30 that I think that, yeah, we're hoping a lot of children will get involved with. We have got these big, colorful, kind of playful-looking boats, and we're going to have people, you know, holding, like, painted cardboard, you know, octopus.
Because it's to their, they have the most to gain and the least to lose.
Exactly, yeah.
The most to gain of this.
Yeah.
All right, anything else I'm missing? Extinction Rebellion, you guys are always doing these awesome culture jam actions. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
And I think it's awesome.
Thank you.
Is there any... The lady that I was talking to before said there's no problem, you're not worried about agent provocateurs so much.
No, because we...
Because it's easy to join Extinction Rebellion.
Oh,
there's no problem joining Extinction Rebellion.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, one of the things that... CDLC talks about in the Know Your Rights and the security culture trainings is the idea that we are all being infiltrated. There's just no way to stop that kind of infiltration. So you just have to assume that your organization already includes, you know, infiltrators, people that are, you know, collecting information and passing it on to the authorities, and act accordingly. You know, on, like, if you're doing, you know, red kinds of activities where people are likely to get arrested, which is absolutely not. But if you are doing those kinds of actions, you know, nonviolent direct action, it's on a need-to-know basis. So.
And you should know the people you're working with.
Exactly. Exactly. Absolutely.
Closely. It's Extinction Rebellion, Eugene.
So you can follow us on Blue Sky at XR Eugene at Blue Sky Social, on Instagram at Extinction Rebellion Eugene, and then I believe our email address.
Right, XR Justice Eugene at protonmail.com. Protonmail.com. Okay.
Awesome.
All right, thanks very much.
Thank you.
What's up, Eugene and Springfield and visitors?
We're the singing resistance of Eugene and Springfield. So while we get set up, I'll tell you a tiny bit about us. We are building a mass movement of singers to protect and care for our communities in the face of rising authoritarianism. We're grounded in love, nonviolence, and solidarity. And we are the singing resistance because we sing. We sing because song is an antidote to fear. Song helps us connect to each other. And through song, we can name and protect what we hold sacred. We sing not only for the world we want to create, but to create that world here and now. We sing publicly in the streets and at sites of authoritarian violence. We sing for the sake of solace, strength, solidarity, to voice our dissent, and to refuse cooperation with oppressive and autocratic forces. We sing because through song, we can refuse to obey what authoritarianism wants us to get small, to numb out, to freeze, to forget. Instead, we mobilize our communities in public, and we will feel, and we will tell the truth of the violence and of the resistance. We have a mailing list that you can sign up for. We have songbooks and information that some of our lovely singers will be passing out.
So we're going to start with a song that I wrote that uses some of the words from the Singing Resistance Manifesto. Okay, I'm going to start. We sing not only for the world that we want to create, but to create it here right now. So we want you singing along. Here we go. We sing. We sing not only for the world, not only for the world that we want to create, but to create it here right now. Let's do it again. We sing not only for the world that we want to create, but to create it here right now. Let's do it one more time. We sing not only for the world that we want to create, but to create it here right now. Now we're going on to the next part. So listen, coming together. Coming together in defense of life, where all are loved and cared for. Let's sing the whole thing. Coming together in defense of life. Here we go. Coming together in defense of life, where all are loved and cared for. Let's do it again. Coming together in defense of life, where all are loved and cared for. One more time. Coming together in defense of life, where all are loved and cared for. We sing not only for the world. Here we go. We sing not only for the world that we want to create, but to create it here right now. You can sing, sing with us. Here we go. Sing not only for the world that we want to create, but to create it here right now. One more time. We sing not only for the world that we want to create, but to create it here right now. Everyone, I want to hear you singing. We sing not only for the world that we want to create, but to create it here right now. Thanks, everyone. All right.
Okay, we've got another song, and it's a sing-along, of course, because that's how we roll with Singing Resistance. We want you to sing. So this one, I'm going to teach you the chorus, and then we're going to do some call and response, and Katie's going to try to help lead the call and response so we get the timing down, okay? So it goes like this. We the people, we the people, we the people, take back
our government
from the war machine, oh, 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 we the people, we the people, take back
our government
from the war machine. We do it with marching,
do it with marching,
we do it with singing,
we do it with singing,
and building,
and building
our unity,
our unity.
We do it with singing,
we do it with singing,
and building
our unity,
oh, 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 we the people,
we the people.
We the people
take back
our government
from
the war machine,
from the
war machine.
Oh, whoa, whoa, we the people. We the people. We the people. Take back.
Take back.
Our government.
Our government.
From the war machine.
From the war machine.
We do it with marching.
We do it with marching.
We do it with singing.
We do it with singing.
And building.
And building.
Our unity.
Our unity.
We do it with marching.
We do it with marching.
We do it with singing.
We do it with singing.
And building.
And building.
Our unity.
Our unity.
One more time. Oh, whoa, oh, whoa, oh, we the people. We the people. We the people. Take back.
Take back.
Our government.
Our government.
From the war machine.
From the war machine.
Oh, whoa, oh, oh, whoa, we the people. We the people. We the people. Take back.
Take back.
Our government.
Our government.
From the war machine.
From the war machine.
We do it with marching.
We do it with marching.
We do it with singing.
We do it with
together.
Singing.
And building.
And
our unity.
Our unity.
We do it with marching.
We do it with marching.
We do it with singing.
We do it with singing.
And building.
And building.
Our unity.
Our unity.
Yeah, Juliet wrote that. So if you didn't see, there's a sign-up list here for our email list so you can hear about what we're doing next. We are singing Resistance, so yeah, stay in touch.
We also have these little, because you need more flyers today. I understand you have not picked up enough flyers today. Beautiful pieces of paper. If you would like one, I guess raise your hand and one of our lovely volunteers, one of our singers will come bring them to you, or we'll just foist them on you at some point.
Okay, we've got one more for you, and it's a really awesome song by Annie Schlafer out in Minneapolis, and she wrote this to sing to the ICE agents at their hotels, and I think it would be really awesome if more of us were singing it together. I want to hear your voices, and even if you're out there, I know you can hear me. I'm on a speaker, so you can sing even if you're not like right next to us, because singing brings us together. Okay, so it goes like this. Whoa, it's okay to change. Now sing it.
Whoa, it's okay to change your mind.
Show us your courage. Leave this behind.
Show us your courage. Leave this behind.
Whoa, it's okay to change your mind.
It's okay to change your mind.
You can join us. Join us here anytime. Your turn.
You can join us.
Join us here. All right, let's get it going.
Whoa, it's okay to change your mind. Show us your courage.
Leave this behind. Leave this behind.
Whoa, it's okay to change your mind.
You can join us. You can join us. Join us here anytime. Everybody.
Whoa, it's okay to change your mind. Show us your courage. Leave this behind.
Whoa, it's okay to change your mind. You can join us.
Join us here anytime.
Whoa,
it's okay to change your mind. Show us your courage. Leave this behind.
Oh,
it's okay to change your mind. And you can join us.
Join us here anytime. One more time.
Oh, it's okay to change your mind.
Test your courage.
Leave this behind.
Oh,
it's okay to change.
is here anytime. Yeah! Can't wait to sing with you again.
So if you want to learn more about us, you can find us Instagram, Singing Resistance Eugene Springfield. We've got lots of ways to get in touch. You can email us. You can join us on Signal. We will be, our next action will be during May Day at the beginning. We'll be singing together, leading, going into the march, the event, the rally, the whole thing. We will be meeting at 11:30 a.m. in the alley next to Perugino, which sounds kind of sketchy, but that's what we're doing.
All right, I'm here at the May Day celebration, and here's a booth that says Share a Star Story. What do you guys do?
Well, we're part of Dark Sky Oregon, all-volunteer, nonprofit organization, and right now I'm encouraging people to share their story of the night. It can be anything. A movie moment, a song lyric, a real memory of the night. It can be anything. It's just significant to you, and I want to share it with the city council because we're taking away the night from humanity, and the night is so important. You know, it's an important part of our sleep, it's an important part of our environment, it's an important part of our energy grid, how we spend energy at night. And good controlled dark sky lighting can be part of that. And so I want to share with the city council that the citizens of Eugene want to bring stars back to our sky. In the last like 20 years alone, we've gone from like a portal 4 or 5 at the epicenter of town to a portal 7 or 8. And it's just been LEDs out the wazoo, and the unshielded lights have not been retrofitted like the outdoor lighting ordinance says it should be.
All right, oh, so LEDs bad?
Not LEDs bad, but LEDs require us to be more careful and controlled about our lighting. Dark sky lighting is not asking for the city to go dark, just that our lighting is controlled and careful and fully shielded. Right. You know, you put a lampshade on your light at your own house, don't you?
Yeah. So why not? And so I moved up here in 94, partly because at night you could see an arm of the galaxy.
Yes, exactly.
Up in the sky here in Eugene. 100%. I didn't have to go to the mountains or go out of town.
100%.
Now I don't see hardly any stars anymore.
100%. And computer projection models say if we just use standardized dark sky lighting, that means all of the lights at the very least look like this. If not, some of them are on timers, motions, and dimmer switches and are off when nobody is there specifically. That's what the motions and timers are for, so that way they turn on when people are moving around there. We would be able to see the Milky Way probably at the very outskirts of town easily again. It would just require us to control our lighting and standardize it.
And the northern lights. And you know, to me it's important to realize when you look up at the sky and see stuff like that, you realize what a small person you are in the universe.
100%. When I saw the Milky Way at Prineville, Oregon specifically, and that's what inspired me towards my dark sky activism. And when you see the Milky Way, like the gas glow of the Milky Way cast your shadow on the ground, that's like ethereal, because that's like light coming not from any one star, but just like gas of the universe, and still casting your shadow on the ground. It's amazing.
And so what about the critters too? I go outside and the moths are around my front porch light, and they should be out there pollinating and doing their moth thing.
100%. The stats are sometimes scary. It's a third of all insects trapped in the glare of a light fixture will die before sunrise. So when you see a bunch of bugs on, like, when you're driving or you're cycling and you see a bunch of bugs trapped under one of those lights, a third of them are not going to make it till morning. Streets with lots of excessive street lighting have a 50% plummet in their caterpillar population, for example. And yeah, as you said, it used to be you leave your porch light on, all the moths are there at the end of the night. Now you leave your porch light on and there's hardly any there anymore because we've been abusing our light so much, as well as a number of other reasons.
And then this all up the chain too, the birds need the insects.
The birds, absolutely. That's part of our hope with Dark Skies, that we can cooperate with Coast to Cascade Alliance, which is the Lane County Bird Association group, and they're hoping to make Eugene a bird city. That's part of Dark Sky. Fossil Free Eugene is here. That can be part of Dark Sky. Vision Zero, which is Eugene having no traffic accidents or traffic fatalities. That can be part of Dark Sky because we will be eliminating glare from night driving, hopefully, which is something people don't think about. They don't think about how distracting and disorienting the glare can be when they're driving down a road. It affects human health as well. People who work the night shift have increased rates of heart disease and strokes. Funnily enough, every single major nuclear accident has happened at night with the night crew. And it's estimated that wasteful dark, non-dark sky lighting costs every man, woman, and child in America, adjusted for inflation, about $12 a year. In Eugene, that's costing us about $2 million a year on wasteful lighting.
And so all you got to do is put a shade over your lights.
Most of these lights either just simply need to be retrofitted or adjusted. A few of them, like these fishbowl lights in downtown that Dark Sky have been trying to change for a while now, though they're going to need to be replaced outright. But most of these lights can simply be retrofitted or adjusted, or have new bulbs placed in them to make them more dark sky friendly. Every light counts, you know, shield your porch light. It can be as simple as using a piece of tin foil. That's what I did to my porch light. Very cheap, 10-cent solution to that. And then, of course, many local businesses, such as, I think, Better Home Lighting Eugene, offers specifically dark sky fixtures for your home if you want to outright replace that.
All right, thanks. Did you want to give your name and what can people do and where can we get a hold of you?
My name is Misty Strawberry Bowman, and I would encourage everybody to contact Dark Sky Oregon. And if you specifically mention that you're from Eugene or Springfield, the Dark Sky Board of Directors tends to defer those emails back to me anyway. So.
All right, it's darkskyoregon.org.
Just darksky.org, and then you'll reach the Dark Sky Oregon website, or Dark Sky Oregon. Just Google that. It will be the first result.
All right, thanks very much. This is very important. Good work.
Thank you so much.
Oh.